This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
Praising Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, sending men's greetings and salutations upon the final Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam. We find that on many occasions, in the current climate that we live in, that many of us begin to focus upon many different issues. And not to say that these affairs are not important, but sometimes for some of us we begin to lose the vision, the objective or the goal. What do we intend to gain even via these external or so-called political issues, that some of us at times become over emotional, become over worried about them. And at times we begin to take away our own iman, our own devotion, our own commitment towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Some of us begin to become like candles, giving light to other individuals and burning ourselves out. Yes, we should be over worried about the affairs around us, but there are certain basic principles inside Islam that maybe some of us have still not mastered to this day. That we fail to understand that the most pinnacle, important relationship or element of our faith, of our creed, of our belief is al-imanu billahi subhanahu wa ta'ala, is the belief and the conviction towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That the more that a person develops that inside their life, the rest becomes very simple and easy in that journey towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. When a person begins to develop the oneness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, as the Quran itself it mentions, شهد الله أنه لا إله إلا هو والملائكة وأولو العلم قائما بالقسط لا إله إلا هو العزيز الحكيم. In the beginning of Surah Al-Imran, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioned that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala testifies, bear witness that none has the right to be worshipped except for Him subhanahu wa ta'ala. And likewise the angels and men of knowledge who testify to the oneness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, stand upon equity and truth upon that. So you find that the study and the belief towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the most important element. And in that what it encompasses, the most important field, is recognition and devotion, al-ubudiyya lillahi subhanahu wa ta'ala, to serve and to worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Sometimes many people begin to study the creed of Ahl Sunnah, the belief regarding Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, begin to study whether it be the statements of al-Asha'ira, wal-Mu'tazila, wal-Maturidiyya, wa amthalum kathir, begin to study those individuals who deviate away from the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And there are many deviations, and it's good to study them. But at times we fail to understand Ra'sul Aqeedah, the essence of Aqa'id, the belief of Ahl Sunnah, revolves around pinnacle points. وَهُوَ مَعَكُمْ أَيْنَمَا كُنْتُمْ وَاللَّهُ بِمَا تَعْمَلُونَ بَصِيرٌ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is with you wherever you are. Obviously we know how people قَدْ انْحَرِفْ حَرِفُوا, they go away from the creed of Ahl Sunnah, begin to make ta'wilat. That's important. But what is the inner meaning that the aqidatul mu'min, the believer, begins to develop inside their life? That Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is watching over me, knows my action, عَلَّامُ الْغُيُوبِ, is a knower of the unseen affairs, knows what the eyes conceal and what resides inside the chest of the human being. That is the thrust of belief. That is the message of the Qur'an. If you begin to study the Qur'an, it revolves over devotion and taqwa Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The devotion, the fear of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, to humble oneself, to be wary and to be worried about Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, bima'na, worried about the punishment, the iqab that could come upon the individual, and looking towards the good things. That's the message of the Qur'an, is primarily based upon taqwa. The message of the Prophet Muhammad is based upon taqwa. Ittaqillah haythuma kunt. Fear Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wherever you happen to be, and follow a bad deed with a good deed, and indeed it will wipe it out. وَخَالُقِ النَّاسِ بِخُلُقٍ حَسَنٍ. Begin to live with the people with good character and good behavior towards the people around you. So the Quran follows this manhaj of taqwa, the methodology of devotion and commitment towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. If you begin to study the Quran in great detail, you find numerous ayat commanding the believers to develop taqwa, to have taqwa inside their life and to live that life of devotion towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Hatta you find that it was classified as the final ayah inside the Quran. It all revolves around consciousness towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The final ayah inside the Quran is inside Surah Al-Baqarah, some verse 283 or so, if my memory serves me correctly, stage. وَاتَّقُوا يَوْمًا تُرْجَعُونَ فِيهِ إِلَى اللَّهِ ثُمَّ تُوَفَّى كُلُّ نَفْسٍ مَّا كَسَبَتْ وَهُمْ لَا يُثْلَمُونَ وَاتَّقُوا يَوْمًا تُرْجَعُونَ فِيهِ إِلَى اللَّهِ. Fear that day whereby you're going to return back to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, on that day whereby no individual will be oppressed. If you look at what's known as siyaqul ayat, if you look at the context of the ayat, there are ulama tafasir who have written what is known as rabtul bayn al ayati was sur, try to make a link between each surah and another surah, between one ayah and another ayah. It's a great deep science. Some ulama debated it's not acceptable that there's a link between every single ayah. But some of them have made a great effort to link one verse to another verse, the theme of one surah to another surah. And here you find, if you look at the ayat before and you look at the ayat afterwards, what is the link between the ayat before and afterwards? Because the link is very strange apparently. Before this ayat you find the Quran begins to talk about riba, about business transactions. The following ayah is actually classified as the longest ayah in the Quran. It takes up a whole page of Surah Al-Baqarah. So if you began to recite it inside prayers or began to read it, you can't just stop after one line or two lines. You have to read it all the way to the end of the page. Ayat al-Dayn is classified as the longest ayah inside the Quran. So the verse before talks about riba, aklu riba, the eating, the devouring of usury, the taking of interest. The following ayah begins to talk about loan and debt, about having the witnesses and the testimonies. Right in the middle between these ayat, you find this ayah which talks about وَاتَّقُوا يَوْمًا تُرْجَعُونَ فِي إِلَى اللَّهِ. So what is the link? What is the rabd? How does Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala begin to talk about أمور الدنيوية, begin to talk about this world, move to the akhirah, then move back to the dunya once again? Because why? The Quran, whenever it talks about even this dunya, it sends the message of the akhirah. So whenever you deal even with this world, the real intent of the Quran isn't this world as some of us begin to understand. For example, the Quran mentions, إِنَّ الْأَرْضَ لِلَّهِ يُورِثُهَا مَنْ يَشَاعُ مِنْ عِبَادِهِ. This earth belongs to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He gives dominance and inheritance to whoever He wants amongst His servants, His believers. Because some of us, you know, our goal is just become this world, whether it be the Islamic goal, Islamic objective to conquer and to rule. Look at the inner crux of the ayah. It begins to highlight, وَالْعَاقِبَةُ لِلْمُتَّقِينَ يَا أَيُّهَا الْمُؤْمِنُونَ يَأَيُّهَا الْمُتَّقُونَ. That even if you don't gain this dunya, you don't become dominant, you don't become powerful, or you do become dominant, you do become powerful, وَالْعَاقِبَةُ لِلْمُتَّقِينَ, your real abode is the hereafter. That's the real abode of the muttaqoon, the pious individuals. So here we find the ayat talk about riba, they talk about the taking of a loan or a debt. So the siyaq reminds us about all of this world will come to an end, will come to a standstill. The real thing that stands in front of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is taqwa Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, is that taqwa Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That's you find, if you read through Surah Al-Baqarah, you find what comes to mind, that when you take وَتَزَوَّدُوا فَإِنَّ خَيْرَ الزَّادِ التَّقْوَى وَاتَّقُونِ يَا أُولِي الْأَلْبَابِ. When you take your zad, your provision, you make your rihla ila al-hajj, you go towards hajj, you take your zad, your provision, your money, your visa, your passport, whatever it may be. But look what the Quran says once again. Take what? The best provision that you take is taqwa Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, is your devotion towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Inside Surah Al-Hajj that we find, لَنْ يَنَالَ اللَّهَ لُحُومُهَا وَلَا دِمَاؤُهَا وَلَكِنْ يَنَالُ التَّقْوَى مِنْكُمْ. The flesh and the blood doesn't travel to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The millions of animals that we sacrifice, the millions that make that journey, that hardship, none of that travels to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. What travels to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is taqwa Allah, is your fear, your consciousness is what travels to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That is what will begin to benefit the individual inside their life and likewise inside the akhirah. So the Muslim needs to begin to focus upon the Quran, drink from the Quran to extract those ayat which begin to nurture the heart of the individual. يَوْمَ لَا يَنْفَعُ مَالٌ وَلَا بَنُونَ إِلَّا مَنْ أَتَى اللَّهَ بِقَلْبٍ سَلِيمٍ. On that day, your wealth and your children won't avail you except for the individual who comes with a pure and a sound heart. That heart which is full of devotion and commitment towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So that you find, إِنَّ اللَّهَ مَعَ الَّذِينَ اتَّقَوْا وَالَّذِينَ هُمْ مُحْسِنُونَ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is with those individuals who fear Him subhanahu wa ta'ala. And that fear leads them to do good actions, kind, generosity, goodness, perfection inside the ibadah, perfection to the best of the ability inside this life. إِنَّ اللَّهَ يُحِبُّ الْمُتَّقِينَ. Indeed, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala loves the muttaqoon, the pious individuals. Likewise, you find innama yataqabbalu Allahu minal muttaqin. Indeed, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala accepts only from the pious individuals. So a person needs to find the path of piety to know that their actions are going to be accepted by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Likewise, you find that the person, innahu man yattaqi wa yasbir fa inna Allah la yudhi'u ajra al muhsinin. Whoever has taqwa Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wa yasbir and is patient regarding the calamities and difficulties that befall that individual, indeed Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does not let the action, the doers of good, go to any form of waste. So taqwa Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, what is it according to the Quran? What is it according to the Sunnah? And how has it been described by the companions and the righteous ulama that came before us? For example, what's been attributed to Abu Hurairah, who mentioned, what is taqwa Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? He said, have you ever walked upon a thorn-infested path? If you walk upon a path which is infected with obstacles, a person is wary where they're going to walk. They're going to be very careful where to step and where not to step. ذَاقَ التَّقْوَى. That is taqwa Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You know, a muttaqi, a pious individual, isn't just like an average Muslim. That many Muslims don't care whether I eat this, I drink this, I do this, I say that. That's why in our society at the moment, it's very common practice. Everybody says, oh, it's only a minor sin. It's only a minor sin. You know, this dissection of the sharia of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala only concerns the ulama. It concerns the clerics inside their writings and inside their interpretations. When this is brought out inside society, this is a major sin, this is a minor sin, this leads to the downfall of society. Especially the Muslim society. Why? We find that today, everybody says it's only a minor sin. Read the works of ulama, usul al-fiqh, what they begin to highlight. They highlight, there is no kabira ma'al istighfar. There's no major sin ma'al istighfar. If you make tawbah wal istighfar, any major sin is wiped away before a person's death. A person makes tawbah ila Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. وَلَا صَغِيرَ مَعَ الْإِسْتِمْرَارِ. There is no minor sin if a person habitually carries on doing it inside their life. So a person does a minor sin, تُصْبِحْ مِنَ الْكَبَائِرِ. It's classified as a major sin. Habitual practice of doing it again and again and again is classified as a major sin. Yani, نضرب المثل. For example, give an example. No one should take this personally because our deen isn't just based upon certain elements. For example, حلق اللحية, shaving of one's beard. Okay, no one should take it personally. My aim is not to abuse or to harm any individual. حلق اللحية, yani, is classified as a sin. If you shave it every single day, it becomes what? A major sin. That's what we're trying to highlight. Anything which you may classify as a minor sin, if a person continuously does it, is classified in Sharia as a major sin. وحتى becomes fisq. وفسقه ظاهر. That person who does that action, that person is a fasiq. عند العلماء الحديث. That's why you find they رفضوا أن يصلي خلف من يحلق لحيته. They refuse to pray behind a person. Could be a person سلوكه طيب وأخلاقه طيب. Person speaks well, dresses well, behaves well. But علماء الحديث documented this person is a fasiq. لا تأخذ عنه الحديث. Don't take hadith from this individual. لِأَنَّهُ ظَاهِرًا يُخَالِفُ السُّنَّةِ. This person, ظَاهِرًا. All of us, we may go against the sunnah internally, in our private lives, at moments in our life. وَلَكِنْ ظَاهِرًا. Apparently this person is going against the sunnah of the Prophet Muhammad ﷺ. So we want to lay this example to help us to understand that minor sins via continuous behavior eventually become something which is classified as a major sin. So the muttaqi, the pious individual, is the one who's worried about where they are stepping, what they are doing, trying to earn the pleasure from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Likewise, when Talq ibn Habib, he mentioned, taqwa an ta'mala bi ta'atillahi min al-nur, min Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, nur min Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He mentioned that taqwa Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is that is nur from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Obedience, the tawfiq min Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to carry out certain actions, it becomes a form of light for that individual. Likewise, if I tarju thawab Allah, the person begins to hope and aspire for the reward from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Wa an tatruka ma'asiyat Allah ala nurin min Allah, takhafu iqab Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You begin to leave disobedience as a form of light from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Remember, wa ma tawfiqi illa billah. At tawfiq min Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the one yukhrijuhum min al-dhulumati ila al-nur, who takes his servants out of the realms of darkness and brings them to the nur, gives them the tawfiq. وَالَّذِينَ جَاهَدُوا فِينَا لَنَهْدِيَنَّمْ سُبُلَنَا. Whoever strives in our paths, we will open up our paths for those individuals. Barakallahu feekum. Open up our paths for those individuals. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the one that gives a person the ability to do good actions. to remain upon ta'ah, to remain on obedience towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, stay away from disobeying Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So that's the Quran mentions, إِنَّمَا يَخْشَ اللَّهَ مِنْ عِبَادِهِ الْعُلَمَاء. Those people who fear Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala are the ulama. Bim ayyi ma'na? Does it mean a person is deeply versed about Islam? No, it's a person who begins to try to implement whatever they've learned in their life. As we know that many Muslims today, it's all about academics. Any whatever academics that they have, credentials that they have, it's not about credentials in front of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The sharia of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala isn't based upon credentials. Whatever you know, you try your best to implement that inside your life, and the person will be successful inside this dunya and likewise inside the akhirah, yani as well. So we find this taqwallah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that you find even the word taqwa, you find it's taken from yani a form of wiqaya, waqa. Waqa means to create a shield, a barrier. So you place a barrier between yourself and the punishment of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So you're trying to protect yourself, preserve yourself by sticking that which will gain the blessing of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and to abstain to that which will earn the displeasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And thus you find that the fruits of taqwallah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that knowledge when it begins to develop, is zahir, is apparent inside the person's life and likewise in the community as well. For example, the Quran mentions, وَلَوْ أَنَّ أَهْلَ الْقُرَىٰ آمَنُوا وَاتَّقَوْا لَفَتَحْنَا عَلَيْهِمْ بَرَكَاتٍ مِنَ السَّمَاءِ وَالْأَرْضِ وَلَكِنْ كَذَّبُوا. If the people of the village, they believed and they had taqwallah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we would open up the blessings of the heavens and the earth for these people. But these people, they denied, they rejected. So look at this tasawwaru hada. Yani we complain about drought, about difficulties, of calamities. You know, in a nutshell, not to sound too political, a lot of these calamities are because what we've sent forth with our own hands. ظهر الفساد في البر والبحر بما كسبت أيدي الناس ليذوقوا. That a person can begin to taste. And they may taste of their own actions. Corruptions appeared upon the land and the oceans, what man has sent forth with their own hands. That you may begin to taste the fruits of your own actions. And you may begin to return back to the deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So when we begin to disobey Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we stay away from taqwallah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the fruits and the blessings are taken away from us. But when we have that right belief, you find that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will shower down from the heavens and likewise bring about from the earth the vegetation, the crops, the benefits, the fawaid, will return back to his blessed ummah once again. Likewise you find for them, yani those individuals, وَرَحْمَةٌ لِلَّذِينَهُمْ لِرَبِّهِمْ yani يَرْهَبُونَ. For those individuals, you find that for them is a rahmah, is a mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, for those individuals who have that desire, who have that hope, who have that fear, who are worried about Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, any worried about that punishment, etc. For them, they'll earn what? They will earn the mercy, the compassion of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. For them, is nothing less than paradise. ذَلِكَ لِمَنْ خَشِيَ رَبَّهُ. These ayat towards the end of Surah Al-Bayyinah, what do we find? Before it is talking about, that أُولَٰئِكَ هُمْ خَيْرُ الْبَرِيَّةِ. They are the best of humanity. They are the best of creation. For them is gardens underneath which rivers flow, any beautiful dwellings are given to them. Look at the conclusion of the ayat. Some of us, we fail to understand the link. It mentions, ذَلِكَ لِمَنْ خَشِيَ رَبَّهُ. That is whomever who fears his Lord will be given the dwellings of paradise, will be given those good things. That's the link that some of us, we fail to understand. We may drift through the journey of paradise and look at the reward and look at this and hope for this. But we fail to understand that the gaining of that paradise is based upon what? It's based upon the fear and that devotion towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So that's as we're all, I'm sure all of us are familiar, that iman of the believer is based upon three basic elements. Al-hub, wal-raja, wal-khawf. Is based upon love, hope and fear. The person doesn't go to any extreme in any of these three elements. A person's iman is based upon love, hope and fear. That's why Ibn Qayyim al-Jawziyah in his work Qasida al-Nuniyah as well mentions one of the most magnanimous work in Aqidah that we find. Whereby you find that he wrote these lines of poetry is known as An-Nuniyah. A Qasida al-Nuniyah that you find is the Aqidah of Ahl Sunnati wal Jama'ah. And it's not just a few lines of poetry. It's not 10 lines or 50 lines or 100 lines. It is thousands of lines of poetry of highlighting what is the creed of Ahl Sunnati wal Jama'ah. And it's called Nuniyah, for those who are not aware, because it ends, every single line of poetry ends with the harf Noon. Just like you find Allamiyah, Al-Mimiyah, yani Asiniya as well. You find ulama, they had this trend to write yani books on aqa'id and fiqh, etc., based upon certain haruf letters and try to end it with those lines of poetry. So Ibn Qayyim al-Jawziyah, his work is a masterpiece. is a masterpiece proving the creed of Ahl al-Sunnah wal Jama'ah. Inside there, he has a long discussion about paradise as well, and other elements as well, and also this element of that Iman is based on love, hope and fear. And if a person goes to any extreme regarding these elements, you find it becomes detrimental to the belief of the individual. If a person bases their life upon fear, you find that some people, it's just fear, al-khawf, that you find عند ikhwanina sufiya, that you find, for them, our brothers from amongst the Sufis, that you find, life is just about fear. As long as you fear Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that's it. You fear Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the reward will be given to you. La, you can't go to any extreme. You have to balance yourself out. Even though some ulama have made a discussion that certain elements, a person can sway towards it. For example, a person who is young, they sway towards the element of khawf. They fear Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala because they sin, they disobey Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. When a person becomes old, the person goes towards what? Ar-raja. Goes towards hope, that they know they're coming towards the end of their life. So here a slight discussion takes place amongst the ulama. Person could swing towards that, towards the end of their life, because now they know they're coming to the conclusion or the end of their life towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So your fear, the crux of what we want to highlight, what does fear do to the individual? Fear leads the individual to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. People around us, when they fear something, what do? They flee away from it. The believer should be doing the opposite, or the Muslim should be doing the opposite. When you fear something, when you fear Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you should flee to Allah. فَفِرُّوا إِلَى اللَّهِ. Flee to Allah. So when you fear something, you're worried about something, the believer finds their resolution, finds their cure, finds their commitment, finds their tranquility, finds their peace in running where? To Allah. Not running away from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That's why today, unfortunately, you find some Muslims, they run away from Allah. What did Allah do for me? What benefits do I have? This is aqidatul falsafa. This is aqidah of the gharbiyin, of the westerners, the people around us. Who, when they lose hope, then they begin to blame God, or they question God, or people like Richard Dawkins, God delusion, atheism, mulhideen, all around us at the moment that we find people. Muslims begin to raise these questions as well. What did God do for me? Ya akhi, la yajuz laka. It's not allowed for a Muslim, abadan fi hayatihi. Never in a Muslim's life should a person pose and present such questions. What has Allah done for me? For Muslim. وَإِنْ كَانَ سَابِقًا كَافِرٍ فَهَذَا شَيْءٌ آخَرٍ. If a person is a disbeliever before, that's something different. But if you are وُلِدْتَ فِي بَيْتِ الْمُسْلِمِينَ, you're born in a Muslim family household. لَا يَلِيقُ بِكَ. It's not befitting for abadan fi hayatika for a Muslim to ever pose a question like this. To pose a question in this manner, that what has Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala done for me? So that's not possible. That's what we're trying to highlight. Go back to basics of learning what aqa'id is. That's why you find so many brothers who champion so many causes. When hardships come upon them, look what happens to many of those individuals. وَالْعِلْمُ إِنْدَ اللَّهِ سُبْحَانَهُ وَتَعَالَى. يَتْرُكُونَ الدِّينَ. They leave their deen. They leave the sunnah. They leave implementation. Why? Because they've not been nurtured upon the right teachings. Most of us, our life has become external factors about Islam. These are beautiful, good things. But you are a human being, laysa bi badanika, via your body. You are a human being via your soul. You train your soul, you nurture your soul, you automatically become a human being. You become a real man. Because we begin to focus upon the tertiary issues to display ourselves like men or women, whatever it may be. When we lose focus of the inner element, then you find that as soon as difficulties begin to take place, or hardships, or some testing, or some element, you find the person begins to fracture. The person begins to collapse. You can see it, Shahid. You can witness it yourself. How many brothers have been practicing for 6 months or for 1 year, something happens, next time you see them, they're worse than what they were doing before. They're worse than what they were doing before. Why? What's the reason behind that? Because maybe it's ourselves as practitioners and teachers, we haven't given them the right lesson. We haven't taught them the right things. وَلَكِنْ كُونُوا رَبَّانِيِّينَ بِمَا كُنْتُمْ تَعَلِّمُونَ الْكِتَابِ وَبِمَا كُنْتُمْ تَدْرُسُونَ. A person should become Rabbani, become a person who is a good teacher. Ibn Abbas mentioned the tafsir of this ayah is a person begins to teach people the beneficial knowledge. That مَا يُفِيدُهُمْ فِي دُنْيَاهُمْ وَآخِرَتِهِمْ. That which benefits them inside this world and likewise inside the akhirah as well. That's what we need to teach the people. To train the people, to nurture the people upon that which will benefit them inside this world and likewise inside the akhirah as well. So you find Al-Fudayl ibn Iyad mentioned, he who fears Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will be guided by this fear towards all good. So whoever fears Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will be guided via that fear towards all that will benefit the individual. إِنَّ الَّذِينَ هُمْ مِنْ خَشَّةِ رَبِّهِمْ مُشْفِقُونَ. Those individuals who fear Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, who are wary about there could be any some punishment that could come upon those individuals. وَالَّذِينَ هُمْ بِآيَاتِ رَبِّهِمْ يُؤْمِنُونَ. They are those individuals who believe in the ayat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. وَالَّذِينَ هُمْ بِرَبِّهِمْ لَا يُشْرِكُونَ. They are those individuals who never ever associate any partners with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. وَالَّذِينَ يُؤْتُونَ مَا آتَوْا وَقُلُوبُهُمْ وَجِلَةٌ أَنَّهُمْ إِلَى رَبِّهِمْ رَاجِعُونَ. They are those individuals when they're given, they spend it, they spend of that wealth, and their hearts are quivering, their hearts are shaking. Yani, and they want to return back to their Lord, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. أُولَٰئِكَ يُسَارِعُونَ فِي الْخَيْرَاتِ وَهُمْ لَهَا سَابِقُونَ. Those are the individuals who are excelling in doing good. And for them, they will be the sabiqoon, they're the first and the fourth most yani, individuals. So when a person looks at these general ayat, person may think these ayat are talking about individuals who may have done something wrong in their life, and then they become focused towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. If you actually look at the tafsir of these ayat inside Surah Al-Mu'minun, the 23rd chapter, verses 57 to 61 that you find, who do these verses refer to? Aisha mentioned, narrates, are they those who drink intoxicants, who commit adultery and committed theft? Is it those individuals that they're hoping for the reward from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, they worry, they become upset about what they've done in their previous life? Is that the plausible meaning of this ayat is talking about them? It could mean them. But the Prophet ﷺ didn't mention that. He says it's not talking about those individuals. This ayat is referring to those individuals. No, it is those who maintain regular fasting and prayers, give zakah, and fear that their good deeds will not be accepted. These are the ones who hasten in every good work. Look at how the ayat is describing. We may think it's about people who've disobeyed Allah, then they become good individuals. No. The ayat is talking about those individuals who are obeying Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, but yet they still fear that their actions are not being accepted. So they try to do what? They try to excel even more in trying to get their actions accepted by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. What does fear do? Ibn Taymiyyah, as we find, is mentioned, yani it burns the forbidden lusts. Yani fear, some of us, we may shed tears, we get upset, we get worried. هذا شيء طيب. This is something good, that a person, yani weeps, البكاء من خشية الله سبحانه وتعالى, weeps out of the fear of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But any after the shedding of those tears, there should be azmu sabiq, there should be a strong resolution that it takes that individual to move away. That's real fear. That's what real element of fear is. It moves, drives the individual to become a better individual. It takes them away. So Ibn Taymiyyah classifies that fear, it takes away, it burns away the forbidden lusts, the desires, the shahwat, the fasad, it burns them. That when a person has that fear of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you find it begins to burn the lust. The person isn't going towards the lusts and the desires. For example, the Quran mentions that قُلْ لَا يَسْتَوِي الْخَبِيثُ وَالطَّيِّبُ وَلَوْ أَعْجَبَ كَثْرَةُ الْخَبِيثُ. Say the good things, the pure things and the impure things are not the same. Even though the impure things, they may begin to attract a person. So for example, many of the young individuals might get attracted towards lust and desires and whatever it may be around them. But the real believer, when they develop taqwa Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, when these things of the dunya begin to attract them, whether it be what seems to be beautiful women, whatever it may be, and the muttaqi sees straight through that. That this is something which is trying to take away my iman. This is something which is trying to destroy me. That this, what we see, this zahir image, this apparent image, yani the person begins to see yani the filth, sees through that light and sees within that the filth inside there, and begins to recognize that this is going something which is going to destroy me. How is that person going to be able to gain that inside their life? Yusuf alayhi salam, that we find, he's placed inside a very, very difficult situation. A very difficult situation. With a beautiful woman, no one is there, she closes the door and she makes a pass towards a prophet of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But what happens to this individual? That he has that patience, he has that taqwa Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that drives him out. It drives him out of that difficult location that, and even the Quran itself, it mentions, إِنَّ النَّفْسَ لَأَمَّارَةٌ بِالسُّوءِ إِلَّا مَا رَحِمَ رَبِّي. You know, this soul of the human being, as we find ulama of tazkiyah have described the three types of soul. But that's a different subject. Anyhow, we find that the soul has a desire towards temptations. If a person is placed in an environment where temptations are there, all of our souls would go towards that temptation. Okay, all of our souls, except for that soul which has the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala upon it. Because that's how the Quran is describing it. Inna nafsa la ammaratun bisu. If the opportunity is given to the soul to be exposed to lust and to desires, the soul will yearn and go towards that. Except for that soul which has got the mercy, the compassion of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala upon that soul that we find. So we find the commendable khawf, the khawf which is commendable, which is beneficial to the individual, is what restrains you from the prohibitions of Allah. That's commendable khawf. So the khawf, the fear, isn't one whereby we weep and then we go back outside and we do exactly the same thing. Okay, the commendable khawf is what? Is the one that takes you away from prohibitions. That's commendable khawf, that as soon as you really do fear Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you walk out the masjid, anybody's number you shouldn't have on your phone, you delete it straight away. As the brother said in the street, you lock off from it straight away. Khalas. That's khawf Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Ya ikhwan. That's real fear. It's not this, that and the other, but possibly this or possibly that or this, that and the other. وَمَنْ يَتَّقِ اللَّهَ يَجْعَلْ لَوْ مَخْرَجًا وَيَرْزُقُ مِنْ حَيْثُ لَا يَحْتَسِبُ وَمَنْ يَتَوَكَّلَ اللَّهِ فَهُوَ حَسْبُهُ. Whoever really fears Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will take a way out for that individual and give that individual provision, take care of that individual where that person cannot even imagine. So when a person has taqwa Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, they just, that fear moves them away. That is commendable, yani khawf. It takes you away from anything which is classified as a prohibition towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Fear begins to tames the body and fills the heart with humility and submissiveness towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So who knows fear is not the one who weeps and wipes his eyes, but the one who abandons whatever may bring punishment upon the individual. That's real fear. The person learns that which will gain or could gain the punishment of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala yani upon yani that individual. So we find al-buka min khashyatillah, weeping out the fear of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, is something commendable. As you find that two eyes will never touch the hellfire. An eye in seclusion, sitting on its own, yani remembers Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, fafadat aynahu, that person's eyes begin to shed tears. Yani a person sitting on their own, think about their life, yani about their life, about their actions, of what they've done, kayfa, yani kanu qasirin, how they become neglectful, ghafilin, heedless, disobeyed Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, begin to weep and begin to reflect and make that resolution. Likewise, the other eye that stands in watch, in guard, in jihad fi sabilillah, that eye will not touch the hellfire. So fear, that weeping is commendable for the individual. But as we mentioned, it begins to lead that individual to begin to stay away from that which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has prohibited. So you find other kalimat, ulama mentioned tazkiyah, like khawf, wajal, khashya, rahba, hayba, all these kalimat that we find, they all carry a synonymous meaning inside the Sharia in general, even though some may be elements of the heart, some of the elements of the whole body, etc. But these are synonymous terms that you find, that a person needs to develop, as what the whole title of the theme has been, shyness in front of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. What does that entail? How many times people know the Sharia of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and what we find common inside this so-called Islamic practicing as well. Brothers and sisters sending one another MSNs, sending texts to one another in the disguise that is Islamic advice. Ya akhi kaif. You think that the devil is a fool? The Quran mentions, وَلَا تَتَّبِعُ خُطُوَاتِ الشَّيْطَانِ إِنَّهُ لَكُمْ عَدُوٌ مُّبِينٌ كَمْ مِنْ إِخْوَانِنَا. How many of our brothers have fallen into grave sins? مَا نَتَصَوَّرْ أَبَدًا. We cannot even imagine it. And some people say, يعني أنت متشدد, you're harsh, you're strict, you're this, that and the other. ليش? Why? Because why? مِنْ بَابِ التَّجْرِبَ. From experience of life that you find, that when people just simply texting one another, what do you find? You find at times, relationships have developed, ya akhi. Relationships have developed amongst people, all in the disguise of sending Islamic texts or discussing with one another. Where are we from the Sharia of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? We're supposed to be people practicing the deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. If we are committing the same disobedience that the awam, the people outside in the streets are committing, فَمَا هُوَ الْفَرْقُ? What's the difference then? What's the difference? How many people have met their prospective wife or their husband talking on the internet, on MSN, on this Facebook, on this, on that, on the other? لا يليق, لا يجوز, أبداً. من يفتي بهذا? Who's given fatwa? This is jaiz inside Islam. These wasail, technological advancement we find, have been placed there to benefit the general awam. Anything that is used for haram, anything which is haram, all of the wasail, all of the turuq, become haram as well. They all become forbidden. So what we find inside our society of this excessive discussions or whatever it may be that begin to take place, or exchanging of numbers or discussion for Islamic whatever activities it may be, a person should be wary about this, should be fearful about this. Because we find that these sins are increasing inside our society, and some people are not even paying attention towards them. And if they say, we have to lift the veil of this, there will be many individuals who will be exposed. وَحَتَّى أَئِمَّ فِي الْمَسَاجِدِنَا حَتَّى imams inside our masjids, حَتَّى people that we pray behind, حَتَّى people that we respect, we listen to their kalam, we listen to their words. Why? Because they've opened up this door. They've opened up this door of corruption that makes the awam follow this path of corruption as well. So we need to go back and to focus upon ourselves that all these elements, fearing Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, is not externally, it's internally. That when you are all on your own, how much element of fear of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala have you developed inside your life, inside the house of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? All of us can encourage ourselves. But when we leave, when we're all on our own, there is when we should make the muhasabah. That is where you can then, if it's true, you can begin to classify yourself as a muttaqi. Okay, that's where you can begin to classify, you are a person, pious individual to your own self. That you're sitting on your own, and you remember Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and you abstain from sin. You abstain from disobedience, or you become weary, or you become worried, or you become upset, or it overcomes you. That is something which is zahir, something which is good for the individual to have that inside their life. So that's what we find. The Quran begins to talk about the Prophet alayhi salam, about how fear would overcome him, how the Quran would overcome him in his fear, that he would weep on certain ayat of the Quran, and they would have this great impact upon his life, impress him so much. Look at the companions, how it drove the companions. The Quran has this great nature. Some of us, we stay away from the Quran. If people always ask the question, how can I change myself? Alaykum bil Quran. Upon you is to read the Quran, is to study the Qur'an. The Qur'an is the only tool. It's the only tool. It's the words of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, as the Qur'an itself describes, that will rip apart a mountain, will cleft it asunder, will turn it into dust. This soft substance, the heart of the human being, what will give it that feeling, that tranquility, that peace, is none other than the words of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. When those words are poured down into the heart, and the heart becomes receptive towards those words, it will lead that individual towards obedience towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. وَإِيَّايَا فَرْهَبُونَ. So the Quran begins to highlight, so fear only me. وَإِيَّايَا فَاتَّقُونَ. So fear only Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That's you find, don't fear mankind. Don't fear any humanity. Don't become like such individuals. The Quran mentions, إِذَا فَرِيقٌ مِّنْهُمْ يَخْشَوْنَ النَّاسَ كَخَشَّةِ اللَّهِ أَوْ أَشَدَّ خَشَّةِ. There's some people who are worried about the people around them. They fear them more than they fear Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. How many times a person comes and says, akhi, I've got this situation and I'm worried what my wife will say. Yeah, akhi. If the Quran and the Sunnah is telling you to do something, why are you worried about what your wife will say? Why are you worried about what your parents will say? There's certain exceptions to the rule, which the ulama will look at. But the general rules are there. But this is what we find more and more again inside our society. That I'm worried about what my manager will say to me if I go for prayers. Remember, Salatul Asr, you miss one prayer. If what you find inside the hadith, it's as if you've lost all of your wealth and all of your family members. Person misses Salatul Asr, lost all. So your work that you're worried about, your work and you missed that one salah, you've lost everything you're trying to gain inside your life. And look how many of us, when we come in front of the manager, when it's an interview or it's a questioning or it's an assessment, we present ourselves well and we bring ourselves appropriately. We humble ourselves, whatever it may be. When it comes to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, تصلي متى تشاء, pray whenever you want, when it suits you, slip it into your routine, peck a few pecks, that's it, jump out of bed at Fajr time in your pajamas, pray your Fajr, jump back into bed. Ishhada ya akhi. يا أنت أمام الله سبحانه وتعالى. You're in front of Allah سبحانه وتعالى. يا بني آدم خذوا زينتكم عند كل مسجد. When you come to the masjid, take your beautiful clothing in front of Allah سبحانه وتعالى. Pray with your beautiful clothing. Do you stand in front of your manager in your pajamas? And many of the shabab, they talk about big things. Wallahi, you talk about big things. وقت الفجر أينهم نائمين. Where their time of fajr? Sleeping. Sleeping in their bed. Yes, Sheikh, I prayed my fajr. Jumped out my bed. I prayed fajr. It's too cold to walk one block to the masjid. ليش تتكلم كثير? Why do you speak too much for then? Why do you talk about big things inside your life? You can't walk one block to the masjid and you tell me about big things inside your life? مستحيل أبدا يا أخي أبدا. There's certain criteria inside Islam. You can't walk one block and you want to destroy mountains? You want to destroy nations?
You want to destroy regimes? You can't walk one block to the masjid because you find it's too cold. And you talk about lofty aspirations. Lofty aspirations not given to us individuals. Indam kasratul kalam. We speak a lot. We speak a lot. Speak less and remain focused upon your life, what you want to gain. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala yaftahul abwab. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will open up the doors for those individuals. Because the essence of every single thing after belief is the salah of the individual. Hadhuka min al-Islam, hadhuka min al-salah. Your share of Islam is your share of your devotion, your commitment of salah lillahi or towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So we find, yastakhfuna min al-nas. Wala yastakhfuna min Allahi wa huwa ma'ahum. People, we get worried about people around us. We don't get worried, we don't fear Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Wa huwa ma'ahum, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is with us at all times and all locations. So we get over worried about the people, about their comments, about their statements, what will they say to us, what will they do to us, how will they behave towards us, what will happen to us. Tayyib, there is hikmah, there's wisdom, there's appropriate speech, there's appropriate behavior. That's true. But somewhere along the line, person has to draw the line. Someone has to, you have to draw the line and make that stance inside your life that is either obedience towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the fear of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, devotion towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, or these elements which exist, yani, around me. And we can begin to see, unfortunately, the choices that we begin to make. فَلَا تَخْشَوُ النَّاسَ وَخْشَوْنِي. Don't fear the people around you. Fear only Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So the believers of those individuals, وَلَا يَخَافُونَ لَوْمَةَ لَائِمْ. They don't begin to fear the blame of the people who place the blame upon them. Because some people, they try to just blame individuals. The believers, don't worry about the blame of the people around them, begin to place a blame upon those individuals. So you find that the individuals, as the lines of some lines of poetry that one of the individuals he wrote, he mentioned this famous proverb, "Man khaf Allah, khafuhu kulla hayy." If whoever fears Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, every living thing will fear that individual. If a person develops that level of fear towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, every living thing will fear that individual. If you go and read the seerah, the life of Ibn Taymiyyah rahmatullah alayhi, tata'ajjab. Read about his life, you find some stances in his life that all of the tulab, all of his students, became worried that at moments when he stood in front of leaders and people in front of them, they at times, you read through his seerah, you write, read what Ibn Qayyim al-Jawziyyah writes, they said, we took our outer garments and we placed them over our faces. Because any second now, the ruler is going to say, smite him, chop off his head, and blood is going to come pouring all over our faces. His own best student said the way that his ferocious nature of addressing these people right bluntly inside their face, that they got worried that he's just going to be slayed. But this individual, if you read the series individual, he only feared Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So you find that people around him began to fear him. They began to fear him. And as you find the opposite, وَمَنْ لَا يَخَافَ اللَّهِ. Whoever doesn't fear Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, يُخَوِّفُهُ كُلُّ شَيْءٍ. Every single small thing makes that individual become what? Become fearful. Whoever doesn't fear Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala appropriately, any small thing makes that individual become fearful. Makes that individual become in a state of fretting and despairing from the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So you find الَّذِينَ يُبَلِّغُونَ رِسَالَاتِ اللَّهِ وَيَخْشَوْنَهُ وَلَا يَخْشَوْنَ أَحَدًا إِلَّا اللَّهِ. The believers are those individuals who convey the message of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and fear no one except for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. وَكَفَى بِاللَّهِ حَسِيبًا. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is sufficient to bring to accountability and to make accountability of the individuals. And thus we find, اللهم إنا نسألك الهدى والتقى والعفاف والغنى. Thus you find that the Prophet ﷺ, he made this supplication that we ask you for al-huda wa tuqa. We ask you for guidance and for taqwa. We ask you for any preservation of ourselves, our dignity, our chastity and richness. Whether it be the external richness of dunya, but the real meaning is ghina nafs, is the richness of the soul. This is what the Prophet ﷺ, he prayed for. Allahumma ati nafsi taqwaha wa zakkiha wa anta khayru man zakkaha anta waliyuha wa mawlaha. Oh Allah, purify my soul. Give it sanctity. Give it taqwallah. Give it consciousness. Give it devotion. And you're the best that purifies. You are the protector and the mawla of my soul and of myself. So you find that a person begins to ask for that. Al-khashya fi sirri wal alaniya. Person asks for fear of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that which is apparent, that which is hidden, that which is open, and that which is done in secrecy. That's what we need to begin to develop inside our lives. So may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us all the tawfiq and ability to begin to develop khawfullah subhanahu wa ta'ala, develop fear of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, alanan wa sirran, apparently and externally and internally throughout our lives, hatta nalqa Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, until we meet Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and are classified bi-idhnillahi ta'ala as the muttaqoon, classified as the pious individuals. And in conclusion, we find in the Quran, as we mentioned previously, إِنَّهُ مَنْ يَتَّقِي وَيَصْبِرْ فَإِنَّ اللَّهَ لَا يُدِيرُ عَجَرُ الْمُحْسِنِينَ. Whoever is conscious of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and is patient, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will never ever let the reward of the doers of good ever go to waste. وَقُولُوا قَوْلِ هَذَا وَاسْتَغْفِرُ اللَّهَ لِي وَلَكُمْ وَلِجَمِيعِ الْمُسْلِمِينَ فَاسْتَغْفِرُوا إِنَّهُ الْغَفُورُ الرَّحِيمُ. بارك الله فيكم.
بارك فيكم.